ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days again.
It's a new year. It's the same three boys. It's the same podcast. But there's a heap ton of new shows. We're going to talk to you about them. You're going to listen. You're going to give us your opinions through the means of social media or through word of mouth when you see us, if you know us. But this year will be different. This year will be big. This year will be the year of the 8 Days a Geeks podcast. I promise you. Now, what I also should say is I've been asked to do this intro to apologize because we haven't been doing this podcast a lot. The main reason is that I am too bloody successful for my own good. I've been doing show after show after show. I've just not had time to do it, really. So for that, I apologize to both Ben Pryor and Christopher Weeks for my success.
See, that's nice. That's lovely.
That is nice.
He didn't have
it?
To do that, did he?
He didn't have to do that. Fair play to him.
Yeah. Ben, everyone, welcome back. We're 8 Days a Geek. How you doing? My name's AJ Jenks and I'm here with
Benjamin Pryor
and
Chris Weeks.
Sorry, I didn't hear the first one.
Oh, right. It was there.
It really, I didn't hear a thing either. I was just like,
it was pretty high, boys, I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, you're doing one of those, down.
It was just
one of those dog whistle things.
AJ Jenks, Ben Pryor, and
you just saw it happen. Don't worry about it's that.
One of the old mimers, one of them. Boys, how we doing? A new year?
Oh,
it's
cheers,
a new
lads.
Dawn.
Cheers.
It's a new day. As soon as you said that, I had to stop myself bursting into song. So often I do.
Listen, boys,
speaking.
Did we have a good New Year's? That's what the people want to know at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a great New Year's. Yeah. Great New Year's.
What do you do?
Pryor was in black tie.
Well, I mean, both of you. I know what Pryor did. He was at some black tie ball or some nonsense.
Oh, this is lovely, yeah. I was wearing a tuxedo.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I went the old Dawns. They had a band, fireworks and stuff.
Nice.
It's a good name for a band, that, to be fair.
Yeah. Three-course meal, lovely.
Three courses? Oh, it's too many.
It is too many, to be honest. I was stuffed.
Was that included? You didn't have to pay for that, did you?
We paid for the night. And then everything was included within that night. It was
Oh, so the meal's free.
Yeah, well, £90 for everything, but I mean, like, yeah.
£90? It's
Jesus.
Weird. Why is it so expensive? But then you get a free three-course meal.
But then you get a free three-course meal.
To be fair, that meal was probably in a swanky joint that would have been about, I don't know, £45 maybe. So you're getting fireworks, live entertainment, all that stuff. It's not that bad.
That's nice. That's nice.
It's like Chris, he's trying to sell it to us.
I know. He's doing another pyramid scheme for next New Year's.
Lads, I had to become...
Guys, if you both get involved, right, we could sell double the amount of tickets. We can make a fortune.
I'm trying to buy back my ticket, and they offered me this great deal. Where
that's fair.
If I could advertise, you know, get a few more people in, then, you know.
That's why you've come back to the pod, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? Oh, God.
Anyone does want to spend over the odds for New Year's, let me know.
Chris, what did you do on the old New Year's?
Well, no, I did. I stayed at home. I played 2 escape rooms with
on your
my
own?
Wife.
Okay.
On my own, I got to help.
On my own, and that was it.
Were the kids with you?
No, they were asleep, weren't they?
Nice.
Oh, did you not? Did they not stay up for the fireworks?
Are you insane? Weren't you with a baby at like 6 a.m. this morning?
Yeah,
that baby would have been up. To be fair,
Chris, I'm intrigued.
My children sleep three.
I'm intrigued, Chris. How are you with escape rooms? Because I know that you're a very smart man. I know that your wife.
That's why my favorite.
Your wife's very smart, okay. So I imagine that you'll probably...
Easy now!
...solve these things very quickly. But do you have fun? Does it get heated? What happens?
It gets intense.
Mm.
You know? Have you done one of these escape rooms where you have the little app on your phone and it plays music and stuff?
Yeah.
They are cool. I like them a lot. We've been working our way through quite a few. It's just intense, you know, but it's a lot of fun.
When you say intense, does it sort of lead to, you know?
What?
I don't know. you know.
But you guys get a bit steamy.
you know?
What? Because our minds are working so fast. We like to steam up the windows.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Wow.
That does happen. Because, you know, your heart rate increases because you're thinking that bit more and the
especially
breathing
increases.
Especially
in your conservatory. It's
we're not doing it in the conservatory. We have other rooms.
Well, you know, I imagine you do it all over the house.
No, you need a table.
Of course.
Do you? Bloody hell. Table.
Otherwise, you can't see all the cards.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Does she bring up the table idea or is that you?
Oh, it says on the box.
A box? Have you forgotten? Goodness me. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I can't say that anymore. We'll be talking about other things other than that.
Why do we?
Mainly House of Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
Of the Dragon. it's 11:30 at night.
And, it's 24 past, come on.
Already I'm flagging. But we didn't finish this. This was our last podcast. Was it? No, it wasn't, was it?
No, Jesus. Rings of Power was, and we did finish that, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. We finished that. And we did do a lot of... God, where we're going to have to compare this, aren't we, to Rings of Power.
I think inevitably it's their own fault for bringing it out at the same time.
Well, there we go then. Cheers, guys. That's the end of that.
It is really, really silly they did that, but it has led us to this point right here, this point in history that we're making right now. Where
it's a big point, isn't it?
Of course
it
is.
These two colossal series came out literally at the same time. Like, they crossed over by, what, a fortnight?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The two biggest fantasy franchises, you would say.
Yeah.
You know, strict fantasy, not sci-fi, obviously.
Yeah, I'd say medieval fantasy, definitely. Yeah. These are the biggest things out there.
Yeah, and Lord of the Rings was the old one, and then Game of Thrones was the young pretender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then The Witcher tried to get in on it, and now that's just all fallen apart, isn't it?
So God. Henry Cavill's out now, and now he's doing bloody Warhammer or something.
No. Buzzing for that, though.
So he accepted to be... He said, no, I'm going to leave Witcher, because he knew that it was a sinking ship. He's like, there's no way I'm going to stay with this. It's going downhill.
But people loved The Witcher. They were all over it.
They loved it because
it was
true.
He didn't like it, though.
No, but for the most part, it was true to the story, the books, and the game. And that's why Henry was so on board with it, with the first script, with the next load that we're going to get. We don't know whether that's the case, because Cavill's pulled out. And he was like, I'm going to be Superman. And everyone's like, yes, he's Superman again, come on. And DC were like, we love you, man. Listen, sorry, mate. You haven't signed that yet, have you? You're not going to be Superman.
Well, it's what's his face that's now the new showrunner, isn't it? Showrunner. Is now the new head exec for DC.
Who is it?
He bloody directed Suicide Squad. James Gunn.
James Gunn's
now taken over and has pretty much stopped everything. Like, Black Adam's gone.
Black Adam.
This was hilarious, okay? I saw Black Adam. I'm a huge Black Adam fan.
Did you think it was as bad as people said it was?
I feel like Dwayne Johnson was as bad as people say it was.
Oh, really?
That was just... And I actually like Dwayne Johnson as a wrestler. I feel like he's actually one of the most entertaining wrestlers
as a wrestler.
He's great as a wrestler. Being an actor, he's god awful.
I mean, he's not been a wrestler for like 15 years.
Well, no, but he is. I mean, he's known as a wrestler predominantly, isn't he?
You not seen San Andreas?
Horrible. Horrible.
Now that's a motion
Fast
picture.
And Furious,
Fast and Furious, horrible.
Jumanji.
Horrible. And
Jumanji's all right. I'll give it to
him. It was surprising.
He wasn't Jumanji, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was Jack Black in that. He was great.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, but anyway.
Amazing.
So
amazing how it's...
The Justice Society of America are in it, and they're really good, and it's interesting. And then there's this other subplot point with this lady and her son, and it's ridiculous and doesn't fit anywhere. And then Dwayne Johnson's just utterly horrible to watch. No point.
God.
Yeah.
So you didn't like Pierce Brosnan?
Pierce Brosnan was amazing. Pierce Brosnan was awesome. He played Dr. Fate, a character that's very difficult to get right, and he did it so well.
I thought it was sick.
Not enough respect is given for Pierce Brosnan. He's brilliant, and all of the Justice Society were great. Just a few bits here and there, and Dwayne Johnson. Mm. I mean, the fact that I cared more about Dr. Fate than I did about Black Adam, I mean, ridiculous.
But how badass was that final little cutscene where Superman just turns up?
Great.
And they're like staring at each other, and then obviously it cuts to black, and everyone's like, whoa, so he definitely is back. This is going to be awesome. And now they've just cut all of it.
The issue was is that I'd watched this, and a few days later, this all came out about Henry Cavill no longer being Superman, so it died with that pretty quickly.
It was a shame.
I know we're off on a tangent now, boys, but Black Adam, wouldn't really bother watching it.
God.
How did we get onto that?
Huh?
How did we do that?
I don't know, but they'll tell us
very quickly. Where do you rank like a Dave Bautista against a Dwayne Johnson and whoever else who's come over from the wrestling world?
It's funny you say that because Dave Bautista I'm a massive fan of and I think he's brilliant, but he recently came out to say that he doesn't want to be remembered as just being Drax the Destroyer. And
well, he's left it, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he doesn't want that to be his thing. And so he's left that. And I watched him in Glass Onion, which is another thing that came out quite recently, which is very good, by the way. It's, what's his name? Bond?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. It's very, very good.
Do you know who the director and the writer is?
Is it Chris Weeks?
No. It's, what's his name? Ryan Johnson.
Wow.
That's right.
Obviously did Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Infamously.
Well, he did a great job because it's really good.
He's a visionary.
Where would I rate that? I mean, I don't think The Rock even gets anywhere close to Dave Bautista on an acting level.
Wow.
Ooh,
big stuff.
Not anywhere close. But I also think that Dave Bautista's sort of trying to get so far away from Drax that he might end up becoming a bit... not as honest to himself as he was with Drax, who he did so well. So I think he might be in trouble in the future, perhaps. But
I understand why he's left Drax. I get that. He's done so many films of that character now, so you just kind of get... And I think he said as well that there's so much more they could have done with that character.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Which I agree with. Like his backstory, when he talks about his family, it's just like, ooh, that's... I really like that, and the way he does it is really good, and then they just kind of make a joke out of him at the end, and it's like, oh, okay, all right then.
Yeah, there's loads they could have done. He was fantastic as comedic relief, but I do totally get from if you love this character as he does, and you can clearly tell he loves Drax, like he did such a great job with it, then you want that story to unfold. And from an actor's point of view, you don't really want to be doing the same thing. You don't want to be known for one thing, sort of thing. So I do get it.
It's like doing a tour and then coming back and playing the same character for like 10 months again.
That's too soon.
It's like,
mate,
doing that.
That's far too soon.
Don't worry about that.
Hang on.
That doesn't happen.
They haven't started it yet. Bloody hell.
So you got these two Goliath things. I understand how because I mentioned The Witcher, then we went on to Henry Cavill.
Yeah,
talked about Superman, then jumped over to Black Adam.
Oh, yeah, Henry Cavill's doing Warhammer, though, isn't he? That's what he's doing there.
Yeah. 40K!
It's very cool.
Yeah. I'm really excited. He just went over to Amazon and said, I want to be producer so that all of the writing can be under my nose now.
Nice.
And he's got that power to do that. Of course he has. He's Henry Cavill. And he loves Warhammer. He paints figures.
He does.
Famously plays the games, all this kind of stuff. He's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
And also the last Warhammer film that came out was just awful.
Yeah. Pointless.
Awful. But let's get on to House of the Dragon, because the last episode we did, we got up to episode 3. Now, we're not going to go episode by episode like we usually do, because by Christ, that's 7 episodes and we just can't really be bothered to do that. So we're going to do a whole summary of everything that happened after episode 3.
Yeah.
So let's quickly go back to, we've talked about episode 3. At this point...
We actually talked about episode 2. That's the last one we did.
Oh, was it? Oh my God. So 8 episodes.
Yeah, don't worry.
So at this point then, and we've finished episode two, so we're still with the two younger girls. We're still with those lot. We're still
the younger girls.
We're still getting to know them.
Getting to know.
And yeah, we're still understanding the whole kind of thing. Daddy Targaryen is fine at the moment. He's just got that little cut.
Viserys,
that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Rhaenyra's just chosen Sir Christian to join the Kingsguard and stuff. We're that early into it.
God,
that
this sounds like years ago.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
Like,
it was
weird.
A long time.
Because of how the show's progressed, this feels like a long time ago, but yeah.
It was at the start of September as well, which is quite a while ago.
Jeez. Yeah, Daemon's. This is when Daemon went to Dragonstone and stole one of the eggs and stuff. So,
battling in the Stepstones, isn't he?
Yeah. So, yeah. That's about to come up, the whole Stepstones thing. So let's talk about this.
Yes, let's.
So we've watched two episodes. I think at this point, and I think surely in the last podcast that we said we were loving this.
Mm-hmm. We were.
Maybe it hadn't quite caught fire. I can't remember. I feel like this is a big episode for like how it ends. This is when it really, really kicks off, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, second of his name.
The second of his name.
Yeah. So this is when, Daemon has this fantastic battle and he becomes King of the Narrow Sea and everyone starts calling him that and stuff. And I mean, this was very much a surprising thing. They kind of, did it remind you of John?
John? Oh, what, charge across the, it's very Battle of the Bastards, isn't it?
Yeah, he just went for it and stuff like that. Whereas John was a bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
And Daemon was quite clever, used a white flag to surrender and then was like,
yeah, what
is smug are you?
It tells you a lot about his character, doesn't it? That he's willing to do that. John would never have done that.
What do we think about this fight scene? Lone man with a sword.
It's unbelievable.
It's, I mean,
I love it.
Cinematography, writing, everything is awesome.
It's so intense. But I mean, I think in this episode, he has not said a word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Does he say a word, or he only says a word right at the end or something?
I think he says a word just before this because one of the guys brings him a raven.
Because Viserys says he decides he's going to go and help him, and that's what spurs Daemon on to be like, I don't need your help. I'm going to go and win this thing on my own.
Yeah, and he like smashes in the messenger.
in
front of everyone, and everyone's like,
he is insane.
Don't get why you did that,
Daemon. Have you heard the phrase "Don't shoot the messenger"? Because you've literally,
Jesus,
he smashed in the messenger for nothing.
It is an overreaction, to be fair.
But yeah, he goes in. He goes absolutely ape for leather.
He's amazing. He's awesome.
And he's on his own for quite a while before all of the other lot come and help him.
Yeah.
And then he goes into that little cave and just comes out with like half of Crabfeeder's body.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, he's just hacked him, hasn't he?
And it's just like, oh. And then the episode finishes, doesn't it? It's just like bad ass.
I feel like Crabfeeder was a bit of a wasted character.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know.
I think they used him here just to show Daemon's character, really.
Yeah, it is more about Daemon, isn't it? Which is fine, I suppose.
It's fine.
Is that all right with you?
That's all right, I suppose.
It's fine because the purpose is justified for showing what Daemon's character's like, and they needed to have us to know the lengths that he would go to and how powerful he could potentially be. It wasn't like Crabfeeder was a huge threat at this point. It still felt like he was, you know, sort of like over there, and the kingdom was like, well, yeah, we don't really care that much. So
yeah, he's never going to conquer the Seven Kingdoms.
Exactly. Yeah,
he can just stay there, buggering about, doing whatever he wants.
It's not like a huge contender was just taken out within one episode.
I could have been a contender.
First, I thought you just went Hakuna Matata then.
Hakuna Matata.
Hey, what a wonderful phrase, huh?
You know what I'm saying? Well, I say that while I'm boxing, you know.
So then the King of the Narrow Sea returns.
The King of the North!
returns to King Landon, swears fealty to Viserys, and and hands him his crown.
I really like King Landing.
Yeah, King Landing, just the singer. Yeah,
so all King hail Lando. King Landing.
King Lando.
He's never quite landed, but he's always landing. That's what's good about him.
That's King what his heirs will be called, King Landed.
But yeah, so he swears fealty and returns back to the old the Red Keep. did I say swears?
He swears fealty.
That's a bit Geordie of me, it's there. Like
he's never said the word out loud. He's only ever read it, you know. Oh, it must be swears, yes.
This is how you say this, boys, isn't it? So I've been reading all those young Bond books and I find
he's
that I can trust
swearing.
Myself.
He's swearing. Oh, he's
But yeah, he's come back, sworn fealty.
Sworn.
Yeah, I just had to double check. Sworn fealty to Viserys, and they're all having a nice little party, and Daemon and Rhaenyra have a little chat. And this is the episode where Daemon bloody takes Rhaenyra out down the red light district, isn't it?
That's right. This caused an uproar.
Yeah. What? In your household?
And uproar. I think in the world, didn't
Lucy!
They?
Like
people went a little
get
bit
down
mad.
Here!
They did. Yeah. Down here. Because this character is portrayed to be obviously extremely young. And we all know that Daemon isn't that young. And so as soon
he's
as people,
extremely old.
Yeah, saw that he was undressing said relative. It's sort of led to a lot of people going, how on earth can you show this? But I mean, that's what Game of Thrones is.
Yeah. I mean that's what, like, Daemon is not a good character. He's not like a hero. I don't really understand why they were so shocked by this. Like, he cut a guy in half last week.
Yeah.
And like dragged him around.
I feel like everyone's got a limit. Daemon's got a limit, surely.
I don't know. I don't remember there being that much backlash. I remember people saying that this was quite saucy.
Oh, it's the bloody company you keep on touring.
You're knocking around with the wrong crowd. That's what you are.
No, but I think that the weird thing is that Game of Thrones has made all of this taboo, disgusting stuff just a norm now in their series. So when it happens, it's kind of just like, oh yeah, all right. That's normal.
To a degree, that is true. I mean, I think that people just like moan about things on the internet because they can.
People more kicked off that when Daemon buggers off and leaves Rhaenyra, she then comes back and goes to Sir Christian. Oh, bugger it, I'll have you instead.
Come on.
Even I was annoyed at that. I was like, well, that's such a second-rate choice there, darling.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
no, she was in the mood.
Yeah, she's
well,
in the mood,
yeah,
right?
If you're in the mood, you're in the mood. She's,
and come on, he was ready.
Yeah.
Ready and willing.
She's ready.
Yeah, but Sir Christian's such a drip there.
Oh, he's a waste of space.
Do you know what the issue I had was? Takes an awful long time to get all that chainmail off and that plate armor.
Yeah.
Well, we saw half of it bloody come off. I remember watching it going, oh.
Kills the mood, doesn't it?
It does kill
apparently
the mood.
Apparently not. She seemed to like it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. For me, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
You in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
Oh, come on! Hurry up! Bloody hell! Been waiting for this. So, yeah, she comes and sleeps with Sir Christian.
Ugh.
So Kristen. Oh, you've missed this, boys, haven't you?
It's good.
So
you're right there, mate.
So then the rumours started going around. Everyone's kind of talking about
you
it.
You know what people are bloody like.
Yeah, Viserys hears about it and Alicent overhears about it, and she speaks to Rhaenyra. Obviously, they're all denying it, and this is when Alicent.
Well, they all think that it's Daemon and Rhaenyra at this point, isn't it? Don't they?
Yeah,
isn't it? Yeah, so those are the rumors that they've been, you know, having it off,
bonking. Yeah, because
you know.
the white worm, has told everyone, the white worm's what's her face, Daemon's ex.
Oh yeah. God,
she's much better in the books, I won't lie.
Bloody annoying. I still not read the books.
Well, I say books. Book.
What, Fire and Blood?
Fire and Blood.
I've only seen bits and pieces of it. I've tried to keep away from it.
Yeah, I mean,
I might have to read it now because we're going to have like months and years and decades before this series is completed.
They've just started filming, I believe.
No.
Yeah.
I'll be dead before it comes out, probably.
You'll be dead! And... So yeah, anyway, all of that happens, all of that kicks off. Otto thinks, I'm going to bloody use this, you know what I mean? I'm going to start using this.
He's like that, isn't he?
I'm going to tell my daughter, what's her bloody name again? Alison, to go and speak to Viserys. This is when they start having more and more of these late night chats and stuff like that, which is...
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that no one has an issue with this, okay? You have an issue with Daemon and Viserys.
Wait. So, are you trying to say that this is worse than incest?
No, what I'm saying.
Everyone has an issue with the old incest thing, but when Viserys wants to hang out with
No. Alison. Listen, I think people didn't have an issue with the incestness of it. That they had the issue with it seemed like a very young girl and a very middle-aged man.
Well, that's interesting in itself.
Well, the thing is that he's meant to be a lot younger. Viserys is a lot younger in the books.
Yeah,
I think he's late 20s, early 30s. And they've really aged him up here.
Yeah. Right? With Paddy. To me, that's what it seemed like the issue was more. I know that the incest thing is clearly like a big point, but you sort of...
Bloody good!
Bloody good show.
With Game of Thrones, that's happened so many times before, you know?
Yeah.
Well, maybe, yeah. That people want to be shocked, don't they?
Yeah.
I think you're right about Viserys, Jenks, but I think he's aged up by his condition. You know, because when he dies, he's only like 55 or something, but he looks as old as time itself. Sorry, spoilers, he's going to die.
Possibly.
I said that from the very beginning.
But yeah, Otto starts manipulating it for his own personal gain, and it's not great. So then...
You know what he's like, though. Loves that.
We light the way. And straight away, Daemon just murders his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
Lady Rhea Royce.
I thought Daemon was a nice guy. Oh, no,
I quite liked her. She seemed...
Yeah, she was great. Can you imagine being like, oh, my God, I've got this amazing part. I'm playing Matt Smith's... dead.
Yeah.
Within a page.
He just turns up, doesn't he? All hooded. And just smashes her head in with a rock.
Oh. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Very tough. She's a Royce as well. Do you remember the Royce family?
Yeah.
Who is it? Rupert Vansittart.
Yeah.
Who's in everything. He was
What's
in Game
the name
of
from Heartbeat, isn't he? Yeah.
Is he in Heartbeat? Oh, of course he's in Heartbeat.
Everyone's in Heartbeat, mate. Everyone.
He's in Heartbeat.
Heartbeat.
But yeah, so we then... Rhaenyra is then... being put together with Laenor,
the coolest, the sea snakes boy.
The old sea snakes boys.
The sea worm.
And,
come on.
Obviously, she understands his homosexuality.
We all do. It's abundantly clear.
Yeah, he's a great character, Laenor.
Very cool.
I really like his character.
Yeah, absolutely.
The little twist at the end with his character is ever so fun.
Hey.
But we'll get to that later on. Forgive me. And then Sir Christian is humiliated when Rhaenyra declines his proposal to elope to Essos and assume their new duties because he's still giving her a pump on the side.
Oh yeah, he is.
I actually think this actor is doing an incredible job at
which one?
Hasn't aged much, though, has he?
No, I mean, apart from that, that's ridiculous. But
is this when? No, they haven't done their aging yet.
But I mean, when he does age, he does not age.
No,
that's amazing, isn't it, Gus?
But he does a very good job.
Good genes.
With sort of portraying that conflict that's within him with being Kingsguard and having that duty of never laying with anyone. Let alone the princess, and that conflict between him, where he's almost like breaking up with every conversation. It's fantastic, really, really good.
Yeah, he is good. He is good, but come on, pull yourself together.
Yeah, he does. He does need to get over it.
Stop being a little, you know,
wet fish.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he gets a bit bloody annoyed.
Yeah,
and it all.
He completely 180s on it, doesn't he? At this point, really.
Yeah,
she turns him down. And then he's like, "Oh well, I'm going to betray you to everyone." I know.
Yeah, and I'm going to start getting really close to Alison now and just hanging out with her because you don't like me.
But funnily enough,
Alison, that snake.
They're like the true signs of someone who is absolutely nuts, who is normally in this situation, who falls completely in love with someone and then becomes deranged and sort of will be this erratic when they get turned down. You know, it's like stalker sort of stuff going on there, and he does it so well. It's just nuts.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I'll give you that one for free. That's good.
Free.
So it's the wedding. Rhaenyra's wedding.
Wedding.
This kicks off, doesn't it? There's a bit of awkwardness here. So they're all having fun. They're all enjoying themselves. Obviously, Rhaenyra's sitting there going, "I'm marrying a homosexual that doesn't even find me attractive," and Laenor's going, "I'm marrying a straight woman that doesn't even find me attractive." Well, probably does.
Yeah, he's a good looking boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very good looking. Like, I wouldn't say.
You wouldn't kick him out of bed.
I wouldn't kick him out of bed.
No, good for you, mate.
But Alison's late, and she comes through the doors, doesn't she? Dressed in that green frock, looking like Princess Fiona.
Now look,
I mean, this is attention seeking at its finest, right here.
This is a big change.
This is, you know, for a show where the script is A star material.
Yeah.
The two lines where the two guys are like, "You do know what green means in House Hightower, don't you?" War.
Horrible.
You're like,
horrible.
Sorry. who are these two?
What? I just want people to know, if you haven't seen that, that isn't exactly how the lines were
delivered. Something like that.
War.
So war.
That's the three of us sitting in the corner at the wedding, having a discussion.
Weeks
just randomly screams at, "Shut up, Chris! We've only just been invited to this wedding.
This is a big moment, lads. This is the first time Weeks has done that this year." Okay,
Alison comes through the door at last. Chris, no, that stop is true. It.
That is true, but I mean, come on. I mean, what a serious, the clunkiest bit of dialogue you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah. It is a bit clunky. It is a bit clunky. But I think luckily it's taken over with the tension that's being brought from everyone else. And those lines kind of fall.
We are sort of wasteland. Yeah, we are sort of thinking less of that horrific line and more of what on earth is going to happen.
Yeah,
that is true.
It's big. It's very, very big. And she does it in between Viserys' speech as well, and he just kind of takes a couple of seconds and then carries on.
Yeah.
And then Daemon turns up.
Oh, Daemon's there as well. Oh, God, yeah.
So it all kind of kicks off, and he's denying that he murdered his wife to his wife's father and stuff like that, and it's all kind of getting weird.
You have to appreciate Matt Smith more and more, I think, because, I mean, he just dominates the scenes that he's in by doing very, very little.
Yeah.
And you think about what we've seen Matt Smith in, and I think we've said exactly this before, I certainly have. It's quite amazing that he has this range, while, like, from the outside, he doesn't seem to be particularly different. Like, you can see it's still Matt Smith and Matt Smith making Matt Smith decisions. But like the energy that he brings.
You said Matt Smith quite a few times.
Matt Smith.
It doesn't seem like a name anymore.
Matt Smith.
No, you're completely right though. We, at first I saw him as the Doctor, and I was just kind of just seeing Matt Smith as the Doctor, and I was like,
Matt Smith.
Goodness sake. And then he delivers this performance that is so out of this world, and he's so convincing and so compelling and evil, and it's awesome. He's very, very good.
Who'd have thought that he could like wear this part so well and so naturally? But it's just brilliant. Like, who else could? I don't know. He's not a natural casting for it. You wouldn't think.
No way.
But like, who else could do it better? I don't even know. It's unbelievable.
I think he's really, really shown himself. I mean, the fact that he wasn't nominated for a Golden Globe, I think is he is for the Emmys, but for a Golden Globe, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like. And the same with Paddy Constantine.
Yes, as well. 100%. Like,
yeah, I think that's unbelievable. That's just dreadful.
This is a man that we saw in Hot Fuzz with West Country accent, that comedic sort of presence. That's what he's, I guess he's probably most well known for.
I mean, he does quite a lot of indie films as well, so he's just under the radar, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've always sort of known of him. But he's never been like the main guy of anything. And no disrespect, of course. And he's
Thanks, mate.
Absolutely nailed this performance to a point where I'm watching and just speechless. He's so compelling. Yeah. He's so good at delivering what he needs to deliver in this role.
And just the journey that his character goes on in this one season.
Brilliant.
Like, I don't, what other character does that? It's just astonishing.
Yeah.
And didn't George Martin sent him a message saying he sent him a message saying your Viserys is much better than mine. No great bloody surprise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, it tells you everything you need to know. But it's astonishing.
Yeah.
He was robbed.
Would you say that he's the Tyrion of this series?
I think he's better than Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
I do as well. 100%.
I think he's just bloody got more depth. Like, Peter Dinklage is great, but it's not a transformation for Peter Dinklage. It's a very natural fit for him.
No, I completely agree. I think he's really I think he's really smashed this character out of the park here. And it's fantastic. But bloody Sir Joffrey Lonmouth.
It's always
up.
A Joffrey, isn't it?
I had to repeat this because I got very confused as to what the hell was going on.
This was very quick, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it happened so quick. It's meant.
Kristen makes a big decision, like, based on very little.
Yeah, he just goes for him.
Yeah, he really does.
And then tries to kill himself. It's just like, what the? So the wedding is meant to take a week. It is based over a week in the book.
Yeah. Ugh.
So they really slammed this in.
I took this off work. Bloody hell.
So Lon Moth, who's Laenor's lover, comes in and he's like, I was meant to inherit your wife's lands and stuff like that. And then he goes over to Sir Christian and says, oh, I know that you've been messing about with Rhaenyra. And then Christian thinks he's going to try and blackmail him, so he brutally kills him.
It's, yeah, monstrous.
Laenor does that scream and, like, just is going absolutely ape.
Yeah.
And then Christian tries to kill himself at the end of the episode, which Alicent comes in and stops him.
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, this is all in like 5 minutes, and at the same time, Rhaenyra and Laenor are privately wed, blood still on the floor, and I think they
a
little scene of like a rat just jumping over the blood or like having a little lick. Just
do you think they offered to, like, do you want us to get that up? And they were like, no, leave it.
Adds to
the atmosphere.
I feel like Viserys would have gone, this is the cap. We'll clean the floors.
All they needed was
the cleaners are on holiday.
Slippery when wet sign, you know, that's all they needed. Just pop down.
Yeah, none
there.
Of that.
Fine.
There was none of that.
That's dreadful, really.
Disgusting. But yeah, there we go. And now we move 10 years later and we open with what was a bloody big shock to me. They really tried to push this actress in on the first go and go, right, we know we're doing a big cast change halfway through. So to kind of make sure that people know who you are, we're going to make you give birth on screen. And then straight after giving birth, you're going to do this massive walk all the way through the capital, up the Red Keep and stuff like that in front of everyone, because Alicent will want to see the baby as soon as it's born. And guys, what did you think of this actress's performance here?
I mean, I think she's great.
She did a very, very good job, but this was horrible to watch. I mean,
it's hard, isn't it?
She is a great casting. I think it's seamless and it didn't feel sort of like out of place with the recasting, because we of course knew that this was going to happen, that they were going
we
to
did.
Fit us.
Yeah, we just didn't know when, did we? Or did we?
Thinking about this in a retrospective kind of way, did they really need to do the recasting?
Well, I suppose they're jumping
10 years.
I mean, it's interesting that they've recast
the two
girls, but they're like, oh, Matt Smith, you're all right.
I tell you,
Kristen Cole, you're fine, don't worry.
You're right there. They didn't need to recast because they left Sir Kristen and they left Daemon as they were, and of course Viserys and a number of other people who just have slightly older appearance.
That was my only little jib about
this
series.
It's a bit weird,
isn't
it?
Those two actresses played both of them before were fantastic, and
they
the two that came
were.
In were fantastic, but it's just like why couldn't those two just do series two?
Yeah.
Well, and the two girls, they are going to do a similar sort of thing and jump back and then
go do flashback. Yeah,
but it won't be they're not going to get five episodes, are they? Let's be honest.
I don't know this for a fact, but aren't the two actors that play Daenerys and Alicent, they are, like, they're not teenagers, are they?
No, they're in their early 20s. They just look younger, don't they?
So they absolutely could have, via makeup or whatever, been an older version of themselves.
So, yeah. I don't even know if you'd need to really age them because, like Chris, no one else was aged.
And it's if you think about the way that we go from...
Oh, other than Viserys is aged here.
Viserys barely ages across the series.
It's mainly because of his disease.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
I have not got a disease.
It's an ear infection.
Sorry, Pryor, you were talking.
I was trying to disguise me opening up a packet of crisps, to be honest.
Oh, nice. I thought pained by that reference.
No.
Like you had a pained look on your face.
Oh.
What's he got in this? What is he eating? Crisps?
I bet he's having squares. Oh.
Seabrook.
They're sort of like off-brand, you know, like McCoy's.
Simple salted.
Yeah.
Seabrook's at midnight. Are you mad?
Well, why not? When?
You shouldn't eat this late.
When else? He said.
I was thinking, when else should I eat a pack of the Seabrook's? Delicious.
Well, you know what they say.
Oh, there they go. They're in his mouth.
Can you hear this? People at home.
They will. I can't hear it at the moment, but
it will be
there. In
you got a little noise canceller or something like that going on?
No, don't worry about that.
Is it Zoom? I don't know.
That's odd, isn't it? Can't hear it.
Normally we can hear it clear as day.
I can't hear a thing. You're doing it right next to the mic.
That is weird.
That's true. I'm just going to see on the waveform quickly. Sorry,
that must be some
weird little beaver mouth he's got, isn't he?
Beaver mouth.
Funnily enough, it's
I've
not
heard
the first
beaver
time.
Used in anatomy quite a bit, but not beaver mouth.
Oh, Chris, that is spiked, mate. Oh.
Spiked? Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, there we go then. Good luck editing that. So, yeah, we have this big...
recast.
Big recast, and she does this.
But these two were cast first, right? The adults were cast first, and then the other two were cast based on their looks.
Yeah.
To be fair, they look an awful lot like them.
Yeah, it is very good. The girl, both of the girls that play Alison look hugely similar.
Yeah, they absolutely do.
They're very good. I mean, all of these actresses that played these characters are fantastic. I want them to do more. I don't want them just to disappear from the show because they're great. Yeah,
I agree.
There's been a strong reaction about that though. Mm. So hopefully, you know, I mean,
I only have an issue with one actor with the recasting, and we'll get to that in a bit.
Who is it? He's got something to say.
I can't wait.
So, we now see that Alicent is queen. Obviously, we knew she was queen because they got married, blah, 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 blah. We didn't mention that, but who cares?
They got married ages ago.
Yeah, Alicent and Viserys are together. We're starting to see a little bit of his disease come through. At the same time, Daemon is over in... Oh, where is he?
Well, he goes to Pentos, doesn't he?
Pentos, yeah.
But he's just on holiday, you know, he's just having a nice time.
With Laena Velaryon and his two daughters, Vela and Laena. All these names are just... It's all the same name. Just
pick it up with George Martin.
Like...
Close your eyes.
But and then straight away, Daemon and his wife are getting on very well. Everything's going well, and then suddenly, she's given birth. She's pregnant, and she gives birth. The doctor says, "Nah, she ain't gonna make it." And bloody hell, I fell for them because a lot of this episode you're with them quite a bit, and then Laenor goes out, and her dragon just burns her to death. Obviously,
unbelievable.
What else would it burn her to? But
just but burns her to warm. Warm me up.
Oh, that's lovely.
Daemon is—he's in the same position that Viserys was in way back when.
Yeah,
right. He can't do it. He's not able to make the same decision. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
It's such a horrifying scene, but it rhymes. You know what I mean?
It does
rhyme.
It's meant to rhyme, you know. And there's a point of all of this. It's just all meant to rhyme. It isn't.
It's you for make kids. It all up. It's your kids, Marty.
I was going to say something else, but that's Family Guy's version, and can't say that on here.
God, no, not on this.
But yeah, so that's all going on. At the same time, Otto has got his fingers deeply in.
Ooh.
The small council, pretty much he's leading everything now.
Yeah, yeah.
And Viserys is more interested in his sculpture.
Very
he
good.
Just bloody, he loves that sand sculpture. You're right. It's looking great.
Yeah.
Like if we all turned up there, I imagine we'd be like, yeah, it's good to see you all, Viserys. Show us the sculpture.
See a little sculpture, mate. It's awesome.
Yeah. Have you fixed that dragon that fell on the floor? Because that needs to be done.
He's talking
about... She did that in her previous incarnation, didn't she?
No, weeks. He's talking about the Balrog that Jenks broke on tour. The tail.
Oh, don't start.
Was it Jenks that broke it, or was it you?
You know it was Jenks, wasn't me.
I thought it was Jenks.
I think it was me.
you know I can't bring that on tour now. I can't bring that because it's broken. It lives in like a tomb upstairs.
My Nazgul's broken, but I still take it around.
Who broke it?
I don't actually know who broke it. I remember coming in one day and the sword had been broken off and I was in a fume.
Do you know what?
Really?
I was, I'm equally as hurt by Chris because people may not notice, but I actually bought that for Chris. So,
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, it hurts me equally.
Yeah. You buy him every... What do you buy, mate?
Chinks, I buy you loads of stuff, mate. All the time.
What?
I bought you an 8 Days of Geek t-shirt. You're welcome.
Crappy did.
I didn't get one of them.
Nope, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I bloody want one, though.
I know, you wanted one, but I went, no, Chinks is getting it.
Bro, have I ever got you stuff?
Yeah, you have, mate. No, you haven't.
I must have.
No, you haven't. Not yet. Still
mustache
waiting on
with
it.
The mustache.
Not yet.
Ooh. Not yet. Well, it's got
back to a load of birthday gifts and Christmas. Gifts.
Yeah, it's in the post. Trust me. Weeds gets me stuff all the time. It's quite nice.
I know. Yeah.
I do. To be fair, I've actually got you something, Jenks.
Have you actually?
I actually have.
I bet because we're going back on tour. He's got something.
I've got your little going back on tour gift.
That's lovely.
I knew he would. I've done the same as well.
Have you really?
Yeah. Well, you remember I did it last time?
No, what'd you get me?
Remember.
Remember.
You know, remember we were in Darlington and I brought in gifts for all the crickets.
He wants to say the important people on tour. That's what he wants to say.
No. Just the four boys, you see.
Yeah, not
did
me.
I got us all t-shirts, didn't I?
Oh, what? Barnett Bad Boys?
Barnett Bad Boys, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yes, I do remember that. I still have that t-shirt.
There you go. Hopefully we all do because...
I don't, mate.
You never lived in Barnett like I did.
Hey,
yeah.
You didn't.
He lived in Barnett. He was a Barnett boy, that one.
I was born and raised.
Barnett, but... Otto's getting his fingers so far in that Rhaenyra starts to try and sort out that maybe... whatever his name is, Jacaerys, that's the one. Jacaerys should marry Helena. Also, let's talk about Helena because obviously we first meet her. She's off her block, ain't she?
Yeah, ooh. I mean, yeah.
I love her character. Love spiders.
Every family's got one, you know.
She is. They're all doing stuff, and she's always on the floor just. Messing about with a spider
she
or
doesn't give a damn
daddy long legs and just talking about it. No one listens to her.
Yeah,
but trust me, she'll
they're the dangerous ones though, aren't they? They're the ones that
exactly
just, sort of explode, like then they give them a pencil and they start stabbing people with it or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
Can't wait for that.
You've hit the nail right on the head.
He's read the book. I can tell he knows what happened.
Oh, the pencil bit. Oh yeah.
Yeah, uses a HB. She goes off it.
Don't get me started on them.
But yeah, so that all kind of goes over, but yeah, it's not going great. So Rhaenyra realizes that it's Otto's coming for her. They're all coming for her. They're all mocking Rhaenyra's children because they know that Sir Christian is the father, and also this new guy. What's this new guy's name?
Which one?
that she's having it away with as well.
Oh, well, Harwin's strong.
So Harwin's, he hasn't really explained that much. It just,
no.
Suddenly we find out.
It seems like he will be explained, but no, he's just around and he obviously fathered all the children and then he's like dead.
Yeah.
Horribly dead. Well, at Harrenhal, yeah. The haunted castle.
So that happens in the next episode where he burns to death. Yeah, cheers for that, Chris. He just burns to death. So because Rhaenyra is crapping herself silly, she goes, right, Laenor, we're going to Dragonstone.
Yeah, nice.
Also, and this is lovely, brings Laenor's lover, new lover, to Carl Corry.
Yep.
Bit
of company on the
remember,
road.
She walks up to him and says, maybe we'll need protection and we'll need arms.
Yeah, they will. They definitely will.
How lovely is that, though, that she's like, look, I know.
Look, they've got a great little team going.
You need to bring him with you because you love him, he loves you. Let's go.
That's it. It's as simple as that. They've got a good thing going on.
It is. It's a nice little setup, to be fair. They get on.
Except, you know.
They do say that they actually love each other as well, don't they?
Yeah. They're like just like best buds, aren't they?
Yeah, they care for each other deeply, but just
truly madly deeply. But yeah.
Go on, Jake's mate.
Yeah, where were you, mate? We're now in episode 7. Driftmark.
Oh my god.
Driftmark. Now it's all kicking off because obviously Laenor that was
go on, you got it.
The C word.
She was Daemon's.
Oh, Laenor, you mean the girl?
Laenor, yeah.
Laenor was the boy.
Which was Daemon's
dish.
Wife that is now burnt to death. He's come back to Driftmark.
Her own doing, though.
He's come back to Driftmark.
It's her own fault.
It's her own fault. Yeah. What do you expect to happen?
To be fair, it was her own fault. She didn't even try, did she?
No.
The doctor went, I don't think she's going to do very well. And she went, shut this! And just legged it out. Even Daemon toughie. Was like, what the f- is going on?
Someone want to stop her? Or is she all right? I don't know.
I'm not going to stop her. Clearly. You know,
she's done this. Brought it on her bloody self. And
she's in one of those moods.
One of those moods. She'll be all right after.
Give her till morning.
Goodness. She's really gone far this time. they're all at the funeral. Viserys is there. Everyone's there. All the names, every name you could name, is there at the funeral at Driftmark.
Everyone is anyone.
Yeah, it's all still a bit awkward. They're all.
We weren't bloody there, were we?
Yeah, we were.
Same old story.
Not being invited to any of these things, are we?
Hey? One day.
And if we were, God, what a party they would have had.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but
if they get the geeks there, it's going to be top notch.
It would have kicked off, I tell you.
It would have some larks. Some larks. But instead, Lucerys slashes Aemon's eye with a knife.
That's what happens.
Yeah, wouldn't have any of that. None of that.
Nah, we wouldn't do that.
Here's my issue as well, boys, with casting of Aemon. I don't know if anyone else had an issue with this or not, but...
What's that, mate?
The cast...
What, too old?
Yeah, I mean, he looks in his late 30s and his brother...
He does. He's not, though, is he? He is young, isn't he?
He's meant to be young. Aemon. He's meant to be young.
Aemon.
And his...
The creepy assassin one.
His brother looks about 20 and he looks about 40.
How old is the actor?
Let me look for you.
He's got to be in his 20s.
No, he's older than that, but he's really tall as well. And so
Ewan Mitchell.
It just looks strange. And
he's 25.
Yeah,
he's younger than any of us.
He looks so old.
He does look old, but he's just got that look. Leave him alone.
Yeah, and he's probably just stressed about his eye. You think about it, right? God,
Weeks, you're the oldest. You're the oldest one of us here, okay?
By quite a bit.
Eldest and fatherless.
If you were cast as Aemon,
he's going to be 33 this year.
It would make more.
That's true.
It would make more sense if you were cast. I would actually go. Yeah, he actually doesn't look too far away from the age of. But this guy, he looks ancient. I don't know what it is with him.
Yeah, there was a compliment in there somewhere.
Yeah,
I was really not.
You know what I'm like. Backhand those compliments towards you, mate.
Yeah, I'm still I'm on the lookout for What he's up to?
No,
for compliments.
I'm saying, Chris, you're a fine actor, and you look younger. Is what I'm saying.
This is taking a real turn.
I don't know what I don't know about how this to at take all. What you're saying.
I'm saying that Chris is okay. I have a crush on Chris. Okay.
Are you saying that Chris is going to be 33 this year? Looks younger than the 25-year-old actor that was cast.
1,000%. I'm just looking at a photo of him.
Well,
now.
I'm sorry. He's brown. God. He's brown nosing you to
I'm
hell.
I'm
going to
take that quote and send it to all the press who complain. Listen, about my cast.
All right. I actually think, speaking of this, seeing as we're here, Jinx is the perfect person to play him. Let's be honest. He's got like
Jinx would be great.
Like a thin face.
Why are you going on me now?
Gotta have a.
He's got that ugly look.
Bit of everyone.
Really,
the old one eye look, me.
Yeah, he'd look better with one eye. I've said that 1,000 times.
I, do you know what? I wouldn't. If I lost something, I think an eye would
Which
be
one?
The first thing.
I agree.
Left.
I don't agree because I'm left-handed, but I do agree with the eye. And I've also thought about this recently. I thought about if I'd lost an ear, I'd want them to. I put like a mechanical ear on, and it's like. It's gone into my brain so that I can super hearing sort of thing. You know what I mean?
I'd struggle with those because I'd be like, what if someone ripped it out?
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to. It's like someone ripping at you normally because it's so embedded in there.
Is it like in Army of Steel where they rip out... Yeah, this is a throwback. Let's see if you guys know what I'm talking about.
I don't think I've seen Army of Steel.
Is it like...
No, what is that?
Is it in the episode Army of Steel where... someone takes out one of the earpieces and it's embedded in their brain.
Oh, my God. And they have the white stuff that comes out.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
There we go.
I bet it would be just like that. And I could see that happening to Bri as well.
Why do they?
I don't know. You just seem like...
Go on. What?
You seem like a victim, you know?
Yeah, nice.
What was the company that's called again? Was it just called Cyber Industries?
It was called Trigger Industries.
Oh my God, yeah.
Do you remember the unbelievably hammy performance that Roger Loypack puts in?
Oh yes,
bless him.
I'm a villain, that's how I speak. Yeah.
I will change the world.
The reason I thought
no emotion,
this
nothing.
I recently watched a series called The Imperfects, which is on Netflix. Very good series, and I would recommend it. And there's a guy in there, an agent that gets his nose clawed off and they give him a mechanical nose, and it's mostly just a prosthetic so that it doesn't look ridiculously out of place that he hasn't got a nose. But then that got me thinking, could you have a mechanical nose and would it be able to still send signals to your brain? Then that's when I got to the ear thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Or like Mad-Eye Moody's eye.
Exactly like that, because I love that.
I'd love that.
That's a Mad-Eye, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Chris,
anyway,
of time.
Anyway, yeah. So, where did I get to? So his eyes.
House of the Dragon.
His eyes just been cut off. Everyone's going crazy.
Speaking of that, hold on.
No. That is great.
So it's all kicking off.
Alison really does go a bit mad, doesn't she?
Well, yeah. So Alison believes that an eye for an eye should happen, and everyone's kind of standing around. And Viserys is like, "You need to back off, Alison." Ooh, sorry, I kind of burped through that word then.
You've not coughed yet, Jenks.
I know. I will, though. Trust me.
Great.
Rhaenyra actually weirdly likes this because it's kind of Alicent showing her true colours.
Yeah,
and
that's
everyone's
true,
like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, she ask Rhaenyra to cut out his eye? She's like, if you're not, you should do it or I'll have to do it.
And then like, okay, Rhaenyra gets
this madness.
Gets cut instead.
Oh, yeah.
And she kind
by that dagger.
The dagger. And Rhaenyra kind of has that weird kind of smile of like, you know that you've just played your card there.
Mm,
you've just played your card and now Viserys knows what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
And
what
stuff.
A messed up family you got to be in that being stabbed or brutally slashed is like a great thing because you're like, fantastic. Now that everyone knows that they're a loony or that they're, you know,
she is that
evil.
Yeah,
she is a bloody loony.
Really good scene though. Very.
And at the same time,
so tense.
Yeah.
At the same time, Alison talks to what's his the the kind of fake little finger.
Oh, he does.
Got oh, yeah. It's called Laris.
Yeah, he's got the foot fetish and starts like masturbating.
Oh, my God. Wait, that's not
this
yet,
is bizarre.
It?
No, that's a bit later on.
But he's
my God.
Yeah. He's the son of someone, isn't he?
He's the son of the guy who was killed in Harrenhal.
Yeah. He's a strong.
So he inherited it. Yeah, he's a strong. Yeah.
He's a strong and he kills his father and his brother.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, so he can inherit everything.
In a fire.
He's such
and
a
then, like,
creep.
Anson's like, oh my God, you're off your rocker.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because she doesn't actually ask him to do that. And he's like, but you asked me to do that?
Yeah.
So, didn't what? You?
Didn't you? And she's like, did you do that? And he's like, I don't know. I don't know.
Did I?
Would it be a good thing if I did?
He plays such a creep so well that I can't imagine him not being a creep in real life.
Like, yeah, what? I don't know if he's a good character, though.
No?
I think it's almost a bit too forceful on kind of... Like, Littlefinger and Varys and stuff like that were brilliant because you didn't even know if they've done this. You had to wait until, like, 3 seasons later to find out if they've actually done something.
I do agree with that, but I feel like they're different purposes for why they're doing things. Varys and Littlefinger were being very sleight of hand and subtle about a lot of different things, whereas this guy is like straight up saying, listen, I'll do the dirty deeds and...
As long as you show me your feet.
As long as you show me your feet and we're going to have a great deal going on here.
I mean, lovely.
I was watching that scene, I was thinking... What is going on?
George R. R. Martin has just lost it. George Martin, I mean.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
But he just must sit there and go, I can get away with anything.
Yeah.
I really can get away with anything.
All bets are off now.
D&D,
I'll tell you what, he's a bit like Varys and Littlefinger, so I'll call him Laris.
Laris Finger. There we are.
That's good.
Ridiculous.
Clever me. Clever, George. Well done.
Maybe I should finish this book. Oh, no, I've got 5 others to write before.
Yes.
Ringo, why don't you put that on the fridge? Oh, okay, Ringo, you put that song on the fridge. Nice one.
Not Family Guy.
Poor old Ringo, eh?
Yeah, it was good.
Oh.
It was good. It was more, it's more kind of, okay,
all right,
Ringo, why don't you, you know.
Hey, I don't even know if it's Paul that puts it on the fridge, okay?
No, I think it's
John.
Is it George? Oh God, look at this. We don't know.
Right on the refrigerator. That way we get to see it every day.
That's
all right.
Thank you. Finally,
it's so blatantly American people doing it, and it's just like, oh, that's it's still funny.
It's great. It's brilliant.
I'm laughing, but I don't want to be.
Yeah. So yeah, it's all. So all of this is kicking on. The family is just kicking off, and
what are they like?
People are still, you know, having a go at Rhaenyra for Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra the Nair's there.
Rhaenyra, get over here.
That her sons are bastards. And then Viserys decrees anyone questioning their legitimacy will have their tongues removed.
I will have your tongues removed.
And it's all kind of kicking off. Otto gets kicked out.
Good.
Oh yeah.
Because Viserys realizes what's going on here, that Otto's again digging his fingers in.
He's only been doing it for 10 years, for God's sake.
Yeah, and it's also found out that Otto's one of the main people that's spreading this rumour. So it's kind of like, yeah, fair dude.
Yes. Well, he mainly does fair it because dude. He knows that he doesn't want to hear about these rumours. He doesn't want to believe them. Yeah. He knows that he's the one that started it, and he's like, well, you've been my faithful hand for 10 years or whatever, but
yeah,
this one thing, you're gone. See you later.
Yeah, mate. You're off. And then Daemon and Rhaenyra bloody have a good rough shag on the beach. And of course
they do.
And then this is that fantastic bit, which I think is really, really good.
What, the rough shag?
Yeah, bloody love this. Repeat. So Sakaal, we all remember Sakaal, don't we?
Oh, God, yeah.
Sakaal Drogo.
Appears to murder Laenor. And it's all kicking off. Everyone thinks Laenor's dead. And then we see Laenor actually just on a rowing boat.
But he's all shaved.
And he's shaved his head and he's leaving with his lover. And they managed to get away after faking his death, which means that Daemon and Rhaenyra can privately marry. I did love this marriage scene as well. I thought it was beautiful.
Great marriage scene. And that twist is very un-Game of Thrones, which loves to be as brutal as possible. And yet it's just some poor innocent bystander who's been killed, so who cares? Like the guy is like, the guy is fine.
Jinx, Chris has changed. He's changed, man. Like,
what do you mean?
He's just so heartless now. He's just something.
What are you talking about?
He doesn't care about random people burning and fire.
Oh, to hell with him. Look, they knew. They knew.
He had a life, man.
His family would have got like a small fortune or something.
Compensation.
And that's how they'd have talked him into it.
They signed up to Direct Line, didn't they? That's why.
Yeah. They're not on any of the comparison sites, so they could save money.
Oh, they good.
You would always go on comparison sites. It's the whole point of...
Yeah, I mean, I do. I've never been with Direct Line, but I've been told it's great.
I don't. Yeah. I'm always go comparing all of them. I'm actually my insurance.
Actually, compare the market. Me.
Compare the market for the free tickets to go with your brother.
Yeah. Well, hey, what was that little diss there for? Didn't need that.
That was a dig, wasn't it? Yeah. He's digging tonight.
That's a good idea.
Listen, the way that you
get
said
buy
it,
one get one free.
Free tickets.
Those freaking go with your brother or something.
Oh, look, just because I don't get to go to the cinema, all right. I have to go with Jenks when we go on tour.
Ooh. I won't go to the cinema. I'm afraid of them now.
Right, okay.
After the incident.
He's walked out too many times. He can't afford it.
As soon as he walks in, he's like, no, flashbacks. Let's go.
It's hard to walk in now. It's hard to walk.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry. Getting dark and deep.
Learning to walk again.
God, I haven't heard that in ages.
Oh, mate, I've recently got back into Foo Fighters just to have a listen to it.
Learning to walk again. It's a little Taylor Hawkins. Learning to walk again.
It's amazing. It's so good.
I can feel I'm really low enough. Where do I begin?
Perfect songwriting. Now,
down. Anyway, we now do 6 years on. Lord Corlys Velaryon, we remember him. Cool guy.
Yeah, the sea snake.
He's been severely bloody wounded at the bloody Stepstone, so his brother,
again,
Sir Vaemond, petitions that he should be the heir. And this is quickly sorted out, isn't it? By a bit of a brutal end. Bloody Daemon just chops his head in half.
It's fantastic.
It's literally one of the most awesome scenes I've ever seen. It's so perfectly cut.
Just came out of nowhere, though.
It's great.
Yeah. Also, because Daemon's been quite quiet for a while. Like, he's got married and done romantic things and, like, buried his wife. And then you're like, oh, yeah, he's that guy.
Well,
he's the guy that cuts people up.
Yeah, so this guy also says that Venera's daughters aren't legitimate.
Well, it's because Daemon's two daughters are technically... Hang on. They are Valyrians and stuff. So he's now saying that if your brother doesn't come back, then I lay claim to it then. I want Driftmark and stuff like that. And they're all talking about who's heir to Driftmark and stuff like that. And Viserys is saying, no, it's still Valyrion. It's still Valyrion. It's still him.
Viserys is saying Corlys.
It's still Corlys.
Yeah, and it's going to go to Lucerys.
Yeah, and it's going to go to Lucerys, and he keeps pushing that and keeps pushing that. And the brother's like, no, it should go to me. It should go to me. All this kind of stuff. Effing and blinding he is. And then Daemon just gets... I think he makes a remark about the
bastard
children.
He says it outright, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which, and...
He says that they're bastard sons or whatever, and that... this and that.
And Viserys says he'll have his tongue, which was his decree. Oh,
He walked towards him, didn't he?
Yeah. There's the walk.
I forgot
this
how
is when
awesome,
that happens.
I forgot how awesome this whole scene is. It's so awesome.
It's just the best. It's just the best bit of TV, isn't it? My God. Yeah. Just that old man walking down. It's just amazing. I read an interview about it where they sort of realized exactly what it was. Oh yeah, it changed like the action, the objective of it changed from him trying to get to the Iron Throne, and they were like, oh no, he's trying to defend his daughter. That's what's like driving him, and that's why it's so incredibly epic, you know, because he's got this very wholesome goal
Yeah.
But he is just amazing. He is just astonishing. And he's wearing that mask. Oh, my God.
This is the thing. He's so near death, but he's managed to come out wearing that, like, Sons of the Harpy kind of mask.
Yeah.
And stuff. And
it's amazing.
Badass. And then when he threatens to take his tongue, he gets up and goes towards him as well and stuff like that, tries to go down the stairs, and Damon just does it for him and just cuts his head off.
Yeah, but he says you can keep the tongue, because he cuts off his head above his tongue.
Oh, yeah. Come on, that's so good.
Unbelievable.
So good. Oh, so good. God. And that's kind of like the first third of this episode, and then the last two thirds of this fantastic dinner scene.
Yeah, amazing.
That we have, which is just full of digs and little moments between so many different characters. It would take an hour to go through each character's kind of drive and motivation and stuff like that. And I think the main thing that kind of happens is when What's-His-Face stands up.
It's
all good before, isn't it? Like, when Viserys is there, they're really getting on.
Oh, yeah.
And he's looking around.
There's that slow pan, isn't there?
Yeah.
And Viserys is smiling.
This is Christmas to him.
Yeah. And then straight after that, Aemon then stands up and does like a toast.
It's once he's gone, isn't it? Because he gets like carried out because he's ill or whatever, you know.
He does a toast to the brothers and then says, the brave, strong, and then they kick off and stuff. Yeah. And yeah, it's all a bit rather crazy.
I was also thinking about Viserys' speech, which was the real... actually big highlight for me, when he was talking about how amazing it is to have his family all there so close together, and he's just withered and a wreck, and he takes his mask off and it's like, ugh, it's kind of grim, but it's amazing. So good.
The CGI on his face as well is fantastic.
How have they done that so well? Yeah. Like, there must be makeup and CGI sort of mix. I don't know, but it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've done prosthetics as well on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is horrifying, though, isn't it?
It's so good.
It could happen to you.
That's a nightmare that I've had before. It's sort of like holes appearing in your face, like in your skin, and like that's literally living that right there. Imagine having
decaying.
A hole directly through your cheek. I mean,
It can't be nice, can it? Really?
I mean,
it doesn't look nice.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, you wouldn't be swallowing half your food, would you? Going out the side.
Well, you'd have to like do it on a tilt so it didn't fall.
Yeah. I suppose you'd have more room for food though in your mouth, wouldn't you?
He's right.
Or you could just pop a little bag on and you'd be like, oh, there we go. It's like having an external hard drive.
A little bit. Yeah. External hard drive of offal out the side of your face.
Yeah, lovely. Oh yeah, have to be made out of the right material.
Yeah.
Get some intestine or something and just be like, oh, there we go. Just sew that on.
Sorted. A nice big droopy bag.
Yeah. What's that? Oh, sorry, it's nothing. It's just my bag.
That'll be my sack. Ignore that.
I put my nut sack on my face. I thought, why not?
Yes, they weren't doing any good down there. So I thought, we'll have them where we could see them.
A bit of a fashion accessory, you see.
I'm king.
It's going to catch on. Honestly, it's going to work.
Trust me.
And then here we are then. This is again what kicks off everything in these final two episodes. So he's on his deathbed, and Alicent, Rhaenyra comes in earlier, doesn't she, with Daemon, and they're just before the meal and stuff, and they have a little chat, and then Alicent comes in on his deathbed, and bloody hell, we all knew exactly what was going to happen. I don't know if you guys clicked what was going to happen when he turns around and tells her the story. And says,
or that, enough of it to make her think,
And he mutters Aegon, which is obviously Alicent's younger son.
Yeah, the worst of the worst, the Joffrey of the team.
Yeah, Aegon must be on the throne and stuff like that. And she believes, you know, as she would, that he's referring to their son, Aegon, and kind of finishes there. And you know, is about to kick off.
Now, do you think that she, because I've seen quite a few people say that she deliberately misinterpreted, but I don't think she can have, because she doesn't have any concept of...
She has no idea about the prophecy.
The Song of Ice and Fire or anything like that. I mean, no one does, because it's been made up for this story. So.
Yeah.
I mean, how could she possibly deliberately misunderstand?
I can see why they think that, but I think that's more down to how things played out and how she responded to it. And I don't know whether it's the writing or the acting.
Don't you think
play.
Alison, I think she's such a good character because I believe her and I feel like she believed it. And she's going, this is vindication for everything that I've been talking about now for the past few episodes and few years, that our children should be on the throne and stuff like that. And she's, and Rhaenyra should give up the birthright to the throne and stuff. And he's finally saying it on his deathbed. I think it must be that. I don't believe that Alison, because even later on, she's trying to be understanding at times with Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
She's trying to be mates with her again and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. She's trying to be honest. 100%. Or what she thinks is honest.
Yeah, and I think she just purely believes it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, obviously, straight after this then, Viserys is dead. People start finding out.
And, he's dead!
And straight away, the Green Council, Ser Otto and the Small Council, that is, plot to crown Prince Aegon. Sir Christian kills Lord Beasley, do you remember? Because he kicks off and goes,
the old boy, yeah.
I'm not about
smashes
this.
Smashes him.
The most,
that chessboard,
the most
it is.
Fantastic way. It's almost Joker-esque from the Dark Knight.
It is. Absolutely, yeah.
It's very good.
It really is.
And then he doesn't get impaled, just gets bashed.
The badass Kingsguard Lord Commander, Harold Westling, resigns his protest and goes,
off. That was great. The Kingsguard are great, except for Criston Cole.
Yeah,
they are. Like, as a rule, like Barristan Selmy and people like, great characters.
You know, remember the twin brothers? One of the twins decides, no, I'm coming with you well. I'm going to go with Rhaenyra because I was there when we all swore fealty and stuff. So he goes over and joins. It's everyone. The whole point of this is that they want to do this before Rhaenyra finds out.
Yeah.
Before, you know, she comes to King's Landing to take her birthright and stuff like that. And I think it's so clever this episode. Because not really much happens in this episode. And it's an episode 9, so you imagine this is where everything kicks off.
That is very true. I thought exactly the same thing after it finished. I was like, oh, that was episode 9. And yet, it wasn't a big battle or anything.
Yeah, so that it's everyone just setting everything up and getting ready for what's about to happen. We all know war's coming.
I tell you, I don't mind that this episode was a setting up for the next one because it delivers. If you set up for something and it delivers, it's like, well, amazing. It's even more impactful. When you set something up, though, I'm not just digging Game of Thrones. There's a lot of other things that have done this. Set something up for an episode or a couple of episodes and it leaves it on a cliffhanger or delivers nothing. What is the point? But this is very well done.
Mm. Yeah, so I agree, actually. It's nice, isn't it, just to see how everything slowly builds up.
Yeah.
So then Aegon decides, nah, bugger this, I'm going to go into the city, get drunk, or just hide away because I don't want to be king.
Yeah.
And there's two little groups trying to find him, aren't there? One with Criston Cole and who's Criston
Cole? The old boy.
Yeah, the old lad. And the two twins. But they're both working for different parties. One's working for Otto, one's working for Alison.
Yeah.
And they have a fight against each other as well and stuff like that. It's all setups and stuff. But Aegon doesn't want
to be king.
It's a good
fight, to be fair, with Criston Cole. He's a good fighter.
It's very good. But yeah, Aegon doesn't want to be king, which I find quite interesting. He's a good character.
He is. I mean, he's a monster. But he just wants to drink and whore, you know.
Wait, have we mentioned... We did in the last pod, didn't we? That it's David Tennant's son that plays.
Yeah.
It's not now, though, is it?
We
skipped over that.
The younger version.
But only for like an episode. When he was wanking out the window.
Out the window. That is the one.
Have you ever met him, Chris?
No.
I haven't.
Never, never.
Oh.
But his. I'm friends with his grandmother on Facebook, Sandra Dickinson. She posts about it all the time. Oh. She posted about that particular scene. She was like, very embarrassing.
No.
Very embarrassing. Yeah, it was something like that.
Fantastic. That's rather humorous.
Poor kid. Can you imagine being that kid? and like your grandma posts about it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we all...
David Tennant's like,
very good.
Good. there is one badass moment, like one of the most badass moments that happens in this episode. Remember?
Big talk. What is it?
So obviously they crown him, and Rhaenys is stuck in King's Landing, and she goes to the coronation, which is in the what's her name? What is it?
It's in the
where do they crown him? It's not there anymore.
Is it the dragon pit they're in?
No, it's
is it not? Yeah, it's a dragon pit.
No, it's not the dragon pit.
Yeah, so it's a dragon pit.
It's a dragon pit.
No.
If it's not the if it's the dragon pit, then you owe me a Funko Pop.
Oh. No, I don't go with that because I've just read that it's the dragon pit.
I knew it.
So that's where they do Aegon's coronation. And then Rhaenys, who's obviously refusing to support Aegon's claim, no one knows which way she's going to go. That's why she's been held in the red cape. She then suddenly disappears underneath the dragon pit.
Mm-hmm.
And then bang! Up she comes with a bloody dragon, Meleys. And the dragon just lets out an awful roar, doesn't it?
All bark.
I mean, it's an unbelievable dragon.
All bark.
It's one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I love this scene. I love her. I think she's badass. And then, you know, she smashes out of the dragon pit and flies away. How many innocent people died, though, do you think?
Nobody cares.
He just doesn't care.
He's changed. He's like out of sight, out of mind. Just, you know, he's just
like that was a big dragon, and it smashed up through the floor. Like yeah. You're talking hundreds, maybe 1,000 people.
Think about all the peons that died, Chris. That's an MMO reference.
Scum
there.
Though to him,
the
scum.
NPCs, mate. That's where they are.
Working class scum. Who cares? They're just
collateral
the
damage. That's what they are.
What AOE. Happens? Just a bit of AOE. That's all.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Get out of the bloody way.
Don't need them. There'll be more coming in anyway.
I do find it interesting that she killed like 1,000 people and then was like, but I'm going to leave these 5 because these are going to be important characters in the story.
Yeah.
When they obviously could all have been dead in like an instant.
Mm-hmm. I know. She could have literally stopped all of this and Rhaenyra pops over the day after and goes, oh, cheers for that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Stop this madness.
So then
she did not.
We come on to the final episode, the Black Queen.
Oh, just...
And, just the Queen.
Rhaenys arrives on Dragonstone, tells Rhaenyra about the death. And so, and again, this is quite a short episode, really.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love this because they're all around the map in Dragonstone, the map that we've all grown up with together.
Of course, grown up with.
And... So her plan is to send out envoys to all of these different houses.
I'd say envoy, I think, would be the proper term.
He's right. I didn't want to say it.
What's wrong with saying envoys?
This is wrong.
You never said that word either.
Envoys?
No, that's not it, mate.
No. It's French.
What is?
It comes from envoi.
No, this is... But we say envoy. They're English.
Oh, no.
This ain't a French series.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting confused.
Exactly.
I thought
so
this
it's
was
envoys,
on Canal
then.
Plus.
the envoys.
All right, she sends out messengers then, or representatives
it's
of her.
Massange.
To join her as allies, and she goes to houses Arryn, Stark, and Baratheon. We only go and see the Baratheons in this episode. So
great guys, Storm's End.
We know that the Arryns and the Starks are coming in, which means that Winterfell and...
The
Eyrie, yeah, are going to come into this.
Yeah, it is.
So we meet Lord Boros Baratheon, who already who's sent again? Who's sent?
It's Aemon, as always. It's Gollum.
Yeah, but it's Lucerys
He's
that goes
been following
over there
us for 3 days
on his tiny, tiny dragon.
Hey.
It is tiny.
If you had that dragon, you'd be like, I've got a dragon. This is cool.
No, it's not Aemon that's sent.
No, Aemon's already there, isn't he?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, sorry. I thought that's what you meant. Someone had already been
Lucerys turns up to Storm's End, and it's kicking off in the name, Storm's End. And we see... Do you remember we see a bit of a shadow of like a huge, giant dragon? I remember thinking, something's up here. Because he's just
colossal dragon over there.
He's just turned up on his like 125cc version of a dragon.
That's exactly how I saw it, mate.
And over there, I can see that's 1,000cc.
Definitely, that's a Harley over there. And he's got a big scooter.
It's not huge; it's huge. You take out the H; it's that big. You ain't got time to say it. Bloody hell, that's huge! I said the H.
You did in like a Scottish way.
Yeah.
Goodness. Man, that's huge.
I really don't know what's going to come out of my mouth half the time.
I mean, but now you know how we feel. Jesus.
But yeah, he turns up, and I tell you what, old Boros isn't happy that he's turned up. He's like, well, where's your mother, if you really cared?
Hey, where's your mum, mate?
And we realise that he's already sided with the Greens in this. Bloody poor old Lysiris walks out with his tongue between his legs, doesn't he?
And I mean, I've never heard that saying, but I do like it.
No, he's bent right over.
he walks for ages like that. Just like, wow.
Well, you would.
Wow. But Aemon says it's time for me to get that bloody eye back, and Boros goes, there'll be no bloodshed here. Even though I've pretty much told you that I'm going to war against your mother, there'll be no bloodshed here.
Hey. There's rules. Rules.
There is rules. So we now get this incredible, probably one of the highlights of the year for me in cinematic history.
Wow.
Is this dragon fight. The Dance of Dragons, which is, you know.
It's a cameo from Charles Dance. He gets in there. And
I tell you, I met Charles Dance.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring this up.
I've met Charles Dance as well.
Oh yeah, when did you meet him?
He came to watch me in Panto.
Oh yeah, Biggins come?
Was anyone?
Well,
Biggins.
He came to. It was the one Biggins was in. Wow. I've got a picture of me and Charles Dance. I'll show you guys later.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, I never got a picture, but I did.
Well,
sing
then
with
you
him.
Didn't actually see him, then, did you?
He was at a party I was at.
Of course he was, mate. Like you go to parties.
I was playing piano. At it.
Are you hearing this? He's saying that he goes to parties.
All right, hey, I'm the only one who hasn't met Charles Dance. Let's just move on, shall we?
We were doing a Christmas carol and he said, oh, take it down a bloody third, will you? Unfortunately, I was able to.
Oh, did he actually?
He did, yeah, because he was like, oh, it's always in the wrong key.
My God.
Wow.
I was popping a quick marker. Did. Or maybe I shouldn't, out of respect for Charles Dance.
No, I think you should. I think you should bleep it.
Yeah.
A quick bleep. I'll do a bleep, but I'll get a Charles Dance quote.
This is a kid show.
Of him going, and I'll put that in.
Perfect. Good.
There we go. It's in. Right, then.
But yeah, what did we think of this Dance of Dragons?
Goodness me. When he just looms out of the clouds above him. Oh my God.
It is, wasn't it?
I had to go back a few times to listen to the lines because at first I thought Aemon deliberately killed him.
No.
Listen to the lines. Aemon's trying to stop his dragon from killing him because he knows what this will do, which is even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got his limits, and it wasn't his fault.
It's amazing that
we think it is.
This guy who is such a monster, we see his limits. I mean, that's amazing limits. In itself.
We see his limits.
Hey. Come on.
I'm so glad you heard that as well. We see his limits.
I didn't
you have a go. No, you have a go at me for the way I say stuff. So,
hey, listen, mate.
His limits.
We've already,
that was good.
We've already had Tomek calling in, okay? He's already ripped me a new one, so we don't need anyone else to do that.
Bless him. He's stuck at the bottom of the ship now, can't get up.
Ooh. Yep.
But,
bottom of the sea.
This is absolutely my favourite scene. It's beautiful. It is.
Do you think this is the scene that won them the Golden Globe?
I mean, it had to have been like a big reason why, because it's so good.
This is on the highlights reel, isn't it? Of like five scenes. This is it.
It's so good.
It's the last one.
It's a sort of classic hunter and prey sort of thing going on here, but then there's a twist and it's so well shot, and I imagine they did this on those the green
dragons
the green sort of dollies they have that they film with, where they're sort of
well hello dolly
not yes, that dolly hello. Dolly Parton's there and they're sort of just there.
Though they have to ride her, don't they, and then they see
didn't need that,
it's in the contract. I don't understand it.
Have you seen this? Because I watched.
Yeah, we watched it. We've just talked about it.
No. I watched an interview and I watched behind the scenes on the dragon riding, and it's like a huge green screen actual dragon that they have to be on with wind machines.
Nice.
It's amazing. And looks like a lot went into it, but it's paid off so well.
Yeah. It is amazing. And you remember what, there's a quote that Viserys did early on where he's like, we're fools that we think we control the dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, without them, we're nothing at all. But yeah, we are not in any sense in control of them. And it's all proven at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. And Vhagar's huge, isn't he?
Oh my God. Isn't he the second biggest after, is it Mleese is the biggest one?
I think
is he the biggest one?
Yeah, maybe Mleese. Is that Daemon's?
No, it's Rhaenys's.
Right.
Biggest dragon in Game of Thrones. Let's have a look.
I think
Dragon's going to be, what's the name, the Dread, isn't it?
Balerion, the Black Dread. Oh no, Vhagar is the second biggest. And Vermithor. Varaxi.
I love that he's just jumped straight into a bath scene in season one of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, always. Tessarian. Why has it got them in order? Why has it just got like random? I don't know. I'll get back to you, boys.
Cheers. Well, thanks for that.
What I always compare this to is the first time seeing Smaug. Do you remember that in there?
Smaug.
I think the first Hobbit film, but how incredibly huge that dragon was, and they did that so well, and I think they've done it even better to a certain degree.
I think this is better. I think they've really smashed it with this.
Yeah, so well. I mean, it's just unbelievable to watch. It feels so real, and it's terrifying. The dragons are actually terrifying, which is so hard to do with any sort of CGI. So unless they get real dragons actually.
Yeah, but only like little ones. There's only little ones left.
And then they just kind of make it bigger.
Lizards!
Just make it.
A lizard should show... I've lost it. Matt Smith's dragon is the second biggest, so that's brewing, isn't it?
Bran.
That's brewing to be a little...
that's Bran.
A little battle.
A little
Bran.
That's Bran, isn't battle. It? He's obviously riding Bran.
I thought the Mleese was much bigger, but no, Mleese is way down the list.
Yeah, I thought Mleese was quite bigger. But Vhagar is absolutely huge.
Oh, he's big boy.
Yeah, Vegas.
And yeah, Aemon just can't.
Johnny Vegas.
Okay.
He just can't control Johnny. No, Johnny. No. Johnny, no.
I'm going to do it. Monkey.
He finished Benidorm and just started playing dragons now.
I want to do something different.
So that happens. So Lyseris and Arrax are dead, and Rhaenyra is devastated and enraged.
Oh, that look in her eye.
There's just a little pan in, isn't it? And then it just ends.
Yeah.
And that's it, my friends, my boys, my lovers, is the end of House of the Dragon season one.
Wow.
Stellar show.
It's been a journey, really has.
Now, before we jump onto the old Dinkles, feels weird doing that, isn't it? We haven't done
it
that
does,
in a long time.
It does, isn't it? We've
got to compare this to Lord of the Rings. What went right with this and what went dramatically wrong with Lord of the Rings here?
Script. Characters. World building.
Mm.
I think casting, with a couple of exceptions.
Yeah.
I'd actually, above all else, go with knowledge of IP, which I think is probably one of the most important things to consider.
I think that is true. It's difficult, isn't it? Because they obviously didn't, as we famously know, they didn't have access to a whole... Like, they had to make up an awful lot of Tolkien stuff because they were not allowed to reference it. I mean, obviously the answer is do not make it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. Like, you shouldn't be doing it, you fools.
One thing that I do love is that House of the Dragon was so underestimated.
Oh yeah, I didn't think it was, like, I wasn't excited about it.
No, it just won a Golden Globe. for being the best TV series of the year.
And it's well deserved.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Rings, everyone obviously was going, well, Lord of the Rings is going to be, like, people were nervous and stuff, but you'd have more faith in Lord of the Rings because it's Lord of the Rings.
Look at the track record.
And you sort of think
they can't afford to mess this up, whereas Game of Thrones has almost been the underdog now for a while because of how it ended. And so we didn't really have that high expectations for anything. We weren't looking forward to it. We weren't particularly anticipating anything amazing. And we weren't really invested because it wasn't the characters that we really knew. So, they had everything to gain sort of in this, but still we didn't really think that there'd be much. Whereas Lord of the Rings, they're dealing with characters that we know. They're dealing with a story that so many people have spent years and years being invested in. And
they're playing with fire.
Yeah, but we thought they can't mess up because the IP, the Lord of the Rings is huge. You can't just like put something out there that's half-assed, but we were wrong.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And
it's very difficult, isn't it?
It just fell apart. I think another thing is that having the writer still alive and still so involved.
Too involved in
the writing and stuff. But you can tell that George R. R. Martin was so involved in this series. You know, it's kind of harking back to how good the first four seasons of Game of Thrones were when he was there all the time and writing episodes and, you know, overlooking everything.
Well, he was writing the plot on the back of a fag packet halfway through.
Don't get me started.
You know what he's like.
Exactly. Whereas Lord of the Rings, you've got, I don't know if you've seen the producers for Lord of the Rings, but they're just so wet.
And it is weird, isn't it?
They're not nerds or anything like that.
He is right.
But you know, like in Marvel, or in Star Wars, what's the name that does Mandalorian? Well, all of them that are in charge of like Mando and all of those shows, you can tell that they care. They adore those shows. They love Star Wars. And you can see it in most of the work. Obviously, Boba Fett was a complete failure, but like...
Oh, yeah.
The other shows, you can see how they care. With this, you can see how much they care. Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Filoni's.
Like, you can see how much they care here. George R. R. Martin's involved, and obviously HBO have gone, yes, please be involved.
Yeah.
No one's being pushed out. It's not like when George Lucas was pushed out of everything to do with the sequels and stuff. Like, and again, with Lord of the Rings, I know this is an obvious thing to say, but there was one person that should have been involved in that Lord of the Rings series.
Tolkien.
Well, Tolkien, and I meant more Peter Jackson, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But if you had Peter Jackson involved in that series, I bet you 3/4 of the stuff would not be there.
Yeah.
That we watched.
Yeah.
It still keeps some of it because there was still some good moments that were written badly or just performed badly.
If Peter Jackson was involved, it would be awesome because he loves and cares about the whole franchise and he loves Tolkien. Yeah. It would have been awesome. And that's what's so disappointing. But I totally understand why Peter Jackson might not want to have taken this.
Mm. Oh, no, it wasn't that. No, he wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He wanted to, but they I can't remember exactly what happened, but they sort of cut off contact with him.
I think it was another George Lucas-y vibe.
Bizarre. Why would you not get, like, who knows more about making Tolkien on screen in the world? Who has ever known more? It's only Peter Jackson.
And the person that has spent his life making these creations on the screen, but also dedicating so much time and love into everything that we've seen on the screen. How can you be so stupid? I mean, it can't have been a cost thing.
Weird.
This is Amazon. This is
the
richest company in the world, so it can't have been a cost thing.
The budget for Rings of Power was $450 million more than for House of the Dragon.
Yeah, ridiculous.
$450 million.
So wow, I've just seen the reason. So, Amazon Studios wanted Jackson to be involved in the Rings of Power, The Tolkien estate did not want Jackson to work on the Rings of Power.
Right. Those guys are bellends.
I mean, so they already got half a bill and they've gone, nah, don't get Peter Jackson to work on Rings of Power.
Because Christopher Tolkien didn't like the films.
Yeah, well, he hated the films, didn't he?
Yeah, ridiculous.
I mean, that's... And so, also, Peter Jackson will not be involved in the War of the Rohirrim as well.
Right.
Again, the Tolkien estate do not want him involved.
Ridiculous.
I mean, how can you be that stupid?
I don't understand how they can't be grateful to him, because think how much money they've made as a direct result of the films, like increased interest in the books and stuff.
And they've seen the success, the track record, and they know that Peter Jackson makes great films that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
If they're a business, which they are, and I know they're protecting the interests of Tolkien as well, which is awesome, and you can only commend them, but they're not really doing that anymore, are they? Because they're making it worse by not having Peter Jackson there. They know now that it's not going to work if Peter Jackson's not involved, yet still for the future they don't want it. It must be some sort of personal thing going on that we don't know.
Bizarre.
It's so a lot of it is to do with the Hobbit series being a failure.
It wasn't a failure. It was...
Well, I suppose reviews and critic-wise...
It was disliked by quite a few people, mostly hardcore fans. But if you think about the majority of cinema goers, it was not a failure.
And also, it made like $1 billion.
And also Christopher Tolkien said all of the trilogies were eviscerated from
ridiculous.
His father's books.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Which just shows how...
Never agreed with that.
Stupid. So that's why the Tolkien estate never gave anything to Peter Jackson again. And that's why we've got a terrible series that's just come out, which has destroyed... I mean, it hasn't destroyed the legacy of the trilogy, because everyone sees the trilogy as just this different godlike thing, which has...
It is a different tier, isn't it?
It's like fan fiction or something like that. It's like Star Wars Theory has gone, oh, do you know what, I'm going to do a Lord of the Rings series as well, and made it and gone, well.
And yet that would be much better.
Yeah, because he actually cares about the project.
It's quite amazing. And to compare budgets, boys, the budget for Fellowship of the Ring was $97 million.
Bloody hell.
Just for that one film. I think it was $281 for the entire trilogy. And Amazon to produce it was $450 million more than House of the Dragon. So House of the Dragon cost more in the first place. But, I mean, over $1 billion for that TV series.
Just think about the difference between Lord of the Rings and the Rings of Power. And the budget difference there.
So all
where's
three,
the money gone?
All three films, as in Lord of the Rings films, cost just over $250,000.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Isn't that unbelievable?
But it shows what you can do with technology that they had. And that was
it's not using CGI. It's using sets and using those clever ways to get... like how they did the differences between the hobbits and Gandalf and stuff like that. Just using, what was it called?
The old school stuff.
The line of sight stuff. Yeah, false perspective.
But it stands the test of time.
So
it doesn't look aged. It doesn't look old. I recently...
It's because it's real.
I know. I went through and watched Fellowship of the Ring the other day, and there's not one part of it that felt aged or old.
No.
The only reason I knew it was older was looking at Elijah Wood. But
exactly.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And then when you get to Gollum, CGI Gollum, you're like, oh my God, this is still the best CGI creation I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
I can't think of anything better.
Yeah, 100%.
And that was 20 years ago.
And then we have Rings of Power that just is...
Where's the money gone? I do not understand it. Who's got that money?
Yeah, I have no idea where it's
Bezos.
Gone.
Bezos. Definitely Bezos. He pocketed it. Definitely.
Bloody Jeff.
You think, when
I don't blame him. He took the money and run. Realised, bugger this ain't working. I'm going to get a space.
So weird. You may as well.
I'm going to go to space. This will do me. I'll stay up here until it all blows over. Just have a beer. right then, boys. Let's
space
get
beers.
To the old Dinkles. I think I know what's going to happen here. But then again, some people may go Weeks may go clever here. I think I know what Pryor's going to do.
Nice.
But Dinkles for, let's just say, pretty much the entire series of House of the Dragon. So Benjamin.
This is a 5 from me.
Okay.
I tried to have a poker face there with Jinx. For people that are listening, I was looking a bit confused and bewildered when he said...
He was.
I know what prize is going to say. But it is a 5 from me because this is simply the most entertaining and well thought out, well scripted, well casted piece of television that we've had in a long time. And it ticked all the boxes. There were a few things that sort of you can question, but that's only being really finicky. I have to say, this is, I haven't looked forward to a new episode as much as I have with this week by week in a long time. So easy 5 from me. And I think that I hope that they continue with this in the next season.
Very, very well said. Well said there. Mr. Weeks.
Well, I'd like to say that I also hope that they continue with House of the Dragon in the next season, because anything else will be a real surprise, I got to tell you.
Didn't mean it like that.
He's been digging. What's up with you guys today?
Look, it's been a long time.
Goodness me.
Sorry, we've done a lot of gigs together. There's a lot of pent up sort of.
What say you?
Look, I can't beat about the proverbial bush. It's, of course, a 5.
Oh, I thought you were going to be...
How could I possibly...
A little knob about this and be like...
I think it was
I'm
going to
give it a 4.5 because next series could be a 5. We don't know what could be a 5.
This series is absolutely superb. Like, I don't know what more you could want. Like, there haven't been huge battles, but it's not really that sort of series.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest sort of battles we've had have been with Daemon and his one... You would lose army! His one man, like...
Thank you. Very good. Very good.
His crazy thing with the Crab King fellow.
Crab King.
It's got to be a 5. What was he called?
The Lord of the Crabs. That's what he is.
Lord of the Crabs.
Call me the Crab King.
What was his name again? Bloody...
The Mud King. The Mudgate.
The Mudgate, that was it. They went through him.
That's it, yeah. You have to go through me.
What's his name again?
His name is... Oh, no. His name is Kragas Drahar, but what is his nickname?
Crab Boy.
Oh, no. Crab Feeder.
Crab Feeder, that's it.
There we go.
No, Crab
go
King. King of the Crab.
Crab King.
King of the Crabs.
The King of the Crabs.
Again, well, crabs aren't really that deadly, are they?
Still king of them. You see, if you could be a king of something, you would be.
A
few worms over there, they're crazy.
Look, this is everything that Game of Thrones wanted to be.
True.
I think it's better than Game of Thrones.
Oh!
Do you not?
Well,
I think across the board, it's better than Game of Thrones.
I was going to get onto that in my...
Hey, Jenks, what do you think?
Oh, thank you. So it's obvious big 5s for me.
Well,
this rivals Game of Thrones series 2 for me, which for me is my favourite. Mm-hmm. For me. And
for you.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Sue me.
It could well be better than Game of Thrones.
Oh, it is.
It was just amazing and unbelievable, and it's so nice to just have two characters talking to each other for longer than 30 seconds. Yeah, cheers for putting that in. And yeah, it's just lovely. You get to know characters. Gettington, and it's just better. It's just better than anything. And it's better than Lord of the Rings. What a failure that was. I can't even remember what dinkers we get.
I think it was pretty dismal.
Yeah, we probably got angry.
I probably gave it a 5 or something.
Yeah, you probably did.
Classic prank.
Guys, I quite liked it. But yeah, 5s all around then. It's a big 15 out of 15. What a way to bring in 2023.
Come on.
Yeah, with a series that ended months ago.
And next week, we're going to do another series that ended months ago.
Which one?
Andor.
Oh,
but it's very good.
Tune good in. Old Andor.
Good, it's very good.
Good old
and
Andor.
I bet... You know, I don't. The people who listen to this, I'm not sure if they'll necessarily have seen Andor, as it had terrible viewership.
It did. Well, that's That's what the bloody Book of Boba Fett did. It just destroyed everything. Boba. Star Wars. And now Andor came out. You guys watched it. I didn't even watch it.
No, until you played catch up.
Yeah. Until...
I begged you.
And two episodes left and I started watching it.
Chris, oh my God, wow.
I think Chris and I watched week by week. I think.
Yeah. You guys did. Well, let's not give this away though. We'll talk about this next
time. Oh, yeah. Where were we? Who were we with? Yeah. We'll get
through.
We got all that. We didn't even do that with this one. Where were we? Who were we with?
Oh, I was with Chris's wife again.
Oh. Yeah, same.
And a table.
Yeah, and a table.
Oh, yeah.
Which brings us to a lovely way to end this podcast. I've been AJ Jenks and I've been with
Benjamin Fryer.
And
perfect.
Chris Weeks.
And we've been 8 Days a Geek. Thank you very much. We'll see you later on. We'll see you next week. Ta-ta now. I ain't got nothing but love.